On this week's show, discussing Tremble Dimensions with Tom Stem and Nathan Wood.
Construction is the world's oldest industry but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're back. I'm going to be honest. I can't go to Dimensions this year, and I was having a little of, I'd call it premeditated FOMO, and I was sitting at dinner in Chicago with two of my friends and thought, what's a better way to be there? Well, the next best thing is to bring two of my buddies on to talk all things Tremble Dimensions. Nathan Wood, Tom Stem. Tom's going to, you know, we'll get into Tom here in a minute, but Nathan, how's the house project GC life going for you over there, buddy?
We have passed our setback and bulk plane inspections. Round of applause. So yeah, we're moving on. We got windows in. We're hopefully going to be dried in before our first snow, and on schedule and definitely over budget. So to be expected.
Hey, you got one out of two. You're doing right. Your Venn diagram is looking
good in this market. Yeah, finding available work, and you know it's. Pedro's been a champ, and we're moving through it. But I am surprised though. I didn't realize that they were non-millennials got FOMO. I thought that was just a millennial thing.
Well, I have
wannabe.
Yeah, I'm a wannabe. Like I want to be young enough to be a millennial, but you know, I live vicariously through you, so I have FOMO. For those of you who didn't know, Nathan is doing some work on his house, so he is shared pain in it himself to learn how. And that voice you heard is Tom Stem. Tom, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Where are you right now? I think you're in the home office, right?
I'm at my home office, yes. Not the Tremble home office, but Rivet proper still exists, and we're coming into the office regularly these days.
I heard we're calling it HQ2, right?
HQ2, that's right. That's right.
The new headquarters
for Tremble. It'll be on the door soon, on the website soon.
HQ2, it's integrated in to Tremble.
Fully integrated.
That pun's for you guys.
Yeah. Hey, pun intended.
Before we jump into this, we got to pause for the cause.
It's important everyone supports a culture of well-being in the field and is equipped with the tools to help prevent suicide in construction. ProCourse Safety Qualified courses were built in partnership with our customers, elevating enhancements to their standard OSHA training. And the Bringing the Right Mindset series equips individuals and leaders alike with the skills necessary to really build resilient teams. We've made these three courses available for free and on demand, and they're offered both in English as well as Spanish, and they are CEU certifiable. ProCourse.com/certified-qualified is where we host our ProCourse Learning Portal, and anyone can use their ProCourse credentials or create a free account to get started.
All right, check us out on YouTube. You guys are doing fantastic. I wouldn't say we doubled, but we're getting certainly close. Who knows when I'm going to call out the next person, when we hit certain numbers. I've got them in my head. You don't know what they are, but when I get them, I might just do something nice for you. That's it. Hit that subscribe button. At the ConTech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems, and we've always believed in our sponsors. So much so that I went to work for one of them. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision making, which builds trust and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. Check out Join, the collaborative project delivery platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build. All right, we're back. Now, some of you may recognize Tom Stem from past episodes and from a company called Rivet. So the last we had you on, it's been a long time, Tom, but you know, we've covered you over time. You had founded and grew a company called Rivet. Pick it up there. Where has that gone and where's that taken you?
Well, it's been a journey. It's one of the things I think that's interesting, right? When I came to market, started coming to market, I brought Rivet to market back in 2016. Back in 2017, I think that was the year Procore launched its app marketplace. We were one of the initial participants in getting some ERP integrations built with Procore in partnership. You know, back in that time frame, there was no one else like Rivet, right? And now you've got a lot of, we're no longer first mover advantage, no longer first to market. I guess always first to market, but we're no longer first mover advantage, right? So, over the past 5 years, I mean, I think we've done a lot to really move the needle in terms of how the space operates, how technology thinks about integration, and how we've ultimately brought integration to the market in a more scalable way. Which ultimately led to the acquisition by Trimble, right? So closed on that earlier this year. Have done a lot of hard work. In case not everybody's familiar with Trimble, it has grown through acquisition quite heavily over the years, 200 plus acquisitions, I believe, over the past 10 to 15 years. And we were officially the fastest company to integrate into Trimble and assimilate into the Trimble ecosystem. So pretty big lift out of the gate, pretty big agenda for us. The demand is significant inside of Trimble and outside of Trimble. So really, we're just trying to get our hands wrapped around the opportunity because it's pretty immense when you look at the size and scale and sort of distribution velocity of a company like Trimble. What we can do will be a lot bigger than we could have done on our own. So we just got to clarify that intent with the market and help the market continue to receive the type of value we offer, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. So now VP and category GM for Trimble Construction Integrations. So
that's right.
The artist formerly known as Rivet is now Trimble Construction Integrations, which, you know, to be honest, I think, Rivet was fun and, you know, powerful and first mover, but it is time to call out integrations in construction are sort of the next frontier, which brings me to why I brought our millennial buddy Nathan Wood with us. It wouldn't be a good show talking integrations without him.
Well, I'm just perusing I hadn't been on the Data Exchange site in a while, and I think it's very cool to see an app marketplace where it's not only Viewpoint and other Trimble tools to outside of Trimble tools, it's also non-Trimble tools to non-Trimble tools in one marketplace. So it's just, I feel like, again, it's like one more inflection point in this, you know, step-by-step ladder we're going up as far as integrations and interoperability. So, I mean, what's been your kind of what you expected to be versus what reality has been? Like, how has it been now that you're kind of inside this much bigger beast? I'm sure it's a lot faster and a lot more resources. How's it been since you've gone over?
Yeah, I mean, look, culture is great, right? So if there's one thing I'll say, culture fit has always been there from day one in terms of how I've always built a company, run a company, focused on the people, focused on the culture, focused on the types of things that you can do to really drive behavior, drive scale, prepare for growth and be ahead of the market and the demand that the market ultimately has for you. So that has been a very natural sort of feel and evolution as part of Trimble. Trimble's a big place though, right? Like you can't take a company the size of Rivet. And even though we've stayed intact, the entire company of Rivet continues to report to me. And so even though we stay intact, you go and join a 12,000 person company. And, you know, along with that comes challenges and opportunity, right? And so, you know, the opportunity is, yes, the demand is significant inside of Trimble. There's as many integrations as we could possibly handle. But one of the positives, I think, in terms of how we've positioned our ability to execute inside of Trimble, it's kind of, you know, we talk about it in a sort of train the trainer or sort of eat the dog food kind of way, right? Like all of the product teams around Trimble are effectively self-serving the needs that they have from a Rivet perspective. So we're not necessarily redirecting my team. And the first question I get asked, hey, you're part of Trimble. Obviously, Trimble needs to integrate with itself. What does that mean for us? What does that mean in terms of the external market? And we haven't abandoned any of that. And in fact, I think we'll be in a position to accelerate that because of the investments we're making to help some of these internal Trimble products integrate with themselves.
Yeah, I think, and it's you hit a couple of things there. Trimble has grown through acquisition, classically a hardware company, right? Like originally hardware company, and, you know, made a couple of acquisitions, made a couple of moves in the software business. I think, you know, direction wise, quite a few years ago, some interesting moves. Everybody, you know, stumbles and moves in different directions on the way. I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little more, Jordan Lawver put in position to sort of help with the growth of the company, help with the strategy. We started to see more software people come in. And I love to see this balancing out. From your perspective, what were some of the surprises coming over that maybe were more, I don't want to call it hardware company based, but what were some of the surprises coming over?
You know, you're right. Trimble's been kind of at this intersection of physical and digital, I think, for many years. 45-ish year history as a company, but again, really started in the hardware space and still operates in that space and still does well in that space. But, you know, the mission moving forward is to really be at the forefront of the sort of digital environment. And so I think, you know, I was pleasantly surprised, I'd say, as some of the strategy and initiatives in motion. I mean, there's a lot of investment being made at Trimble across all of Trimble for to invest into a platform strategy, invest into capabilities that ultimately are initially focused on the types of things that are near and dear to my heart, right? Integration, connectivity capabilities, think APIs, marketplace concepts, those types of initiatives. That type of strategy is really well understood, I'd say, and really well enforced at Trimble and is really being invested into at a level that I wasn't expecting as we walked in the door. So I think those things are really positive. And ultimately, when you look at the breadth of Trimble's solution in construction, we have a pretty impressive portfolio, which is probably another surprise. I know the big names. We all know the big names, right? But when you really get into the different product lines and I'm like, oh, we own that. Oh, we own that. Oh, like, I didn't know we had that, right? And so there's just all of this power that can be unlocked as we continue to sort of evolve the storytelling, evolve the way that these systems connect with one another. And so, you know, my team will play a big role in that by just helping these different products get integrated, have a more seamless workflow capability established inside of those products and across those products. So that the experience of using them really helps the business understand how to operate more effectively.
I love it. It's a natural progression, right? To get from, you know, acquiring and having a lot of those. And sometimes I guarantee you some of them are misfit toys sitting around. Yeah. But they were acquired with an idea and they just needed something to, and you go, oh, I didn't know I have that. Oh, well, I have that and I have this. Mm-hmm. And well, and now I have these guys that integrate these things. Let's do that. And I've seen a big bridge and needed, and this is like Trimble Connect, physical, virtual software, you know, connect that world more seamlessly. So it's positioned well to do that. Nathan?
I mean, it's interesting for me, you know, just coming full circle, because the first software that I started in AEC was Tekla, a structural modeling software that I think was acquired by Trimble in, yep, I want to say 2011. And I was, you know, enamored at the potential for possibilities, because I saw this future of interconnected digital and kind of, I think Trimble and all of us learned the hard way how hard that is to do when a hardware company buys a software company. And I think we have to give quite a bit of credit to Chris Pepler and what he's done to really kind of come in and honestly bash some heads probably and create some of that cultural clashing to recognize that the way that software thinks about the world is different than the way the hardware thinks about the world. And we have to find kind of that middle ground. And I think, you know, when you talk about culture fit, it's probably more, like the Chris's team and everything that's developed out of there that is that culture fit. And, you know, Jeff, we'll have to have him on just to have a whole conversation of like change management within these larger organizations and these tougher conversations that have to happen. But no, it's exciting to me just to see what's happened to date and that, you know, things are moving generally in the right direction from what was expected. So kudos.
Yeah, it's great to see all of that happen. And yeah, we'll have to do that with Pepler as we get more closer to, I don't know, maybe you got a summit going on next year.
We'll pin them down somehow.
We'll pin them down. But I'm interested, Tom, too. We're going to roll into dimensions here in a minute. But, you know, sort of some of the final thoughts on where you guys are and what in general you're just excited about for construction and tech right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just sort of lean into the network effect, I think. You know, ultimately, when you look at the sort of connectivity landscape that the Rivet platform brings to the table, just in terms of our technical capability, the ability to, you know, sort of easily create connections across the construction tech ecosystem, the fact that we do span ecosystems. We're not siloed or isolated to our own Trimble ecosystem, as Nathan sort of pointed out. You know, that constructed that connected construction sort of workflow, that connected construction paradigm, I think that ultimately Trimble is making large investments into. We're making large investments in technology, as you know, evidenced by the the Rivet acquisition and incorporation into the Trimble tech stack. You know, it's going to be pretty significant, I think. And so I always sort of think like over longer arcs, right? Like 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, it's going to look wildly different. And I'm excited for, you know, everybody out in the ecosystem to experience that. I'm excited for industry to experience that. I'm excited for the tech ecosystem to see some of that evolve as we come, you know, to market with more purpose-built capabilities around construction workflows, around sort of that vast array of products that we have within our portfolio. But then also just from a platform capability perspective, there's going to be a lot of access and a very open stance from Trimble to the market that hasn't really been present in the past. And that's going to really move the needle, I think, in a significant way for the tech ecosystem of construction.
Yeah. And if you guys want to check any of it out, always a big fan, go to dataexchange.trimble.com /integrations, but it's data X, not EX, X. change.trimble.com. Check it out, because you're going to be really, really surprised. I mean, this is something, it may sound very advertisey with me on here right now, even talking about it. But, you know, Nathan and Tom and I have been talking about this. Tom and I go back to my days at Gallegos and really seeing what they had and what could be done. And to watch Tom walk through the future all the way to, you know, ending up with a group like Trimble right now and where they can go. And, you know, you go in there and you see big players in there. We've always said, like, listen, there's no one ring to rule them all. If there was, my show would be from a yacht and I would just, you know, charge you guys to know who that winner was. And I just tell you, and then I go back to whatever I love to do. And there isn't going to be a winner. So connecting these big platforms, allowing people to use what they want to use is so critical. So everybody that's big has a show, and I can't be everywhere, unfortunately. Although I'll throw Trimble some shade. Hey, why am I not at your show? No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get you there. I'll get you there.
Yeah, we'll get there at some point. That's all. It's all good. You're right here in my backyard. You're right down in Boulder, aren't you? Or Denver?
HQ is. Show's in Vegas. Yeah.
Shows in Vegas.
Ready or not.
Yeah, ready or not. Here comes Nathan and Tom. And we got to kick it off. I mean, it's not like anybody's talking about F1 in Vegas. So if you didn't know, folks listening in, the Formula One Grand Prix is coming to Las Vegas. Totally separate. There's a couple of dork episodes, a couple of my episodes, just talking about the massive undertaking construction-wise that it takes to grade that environment for those cars to race on, and the security and things that it's got. I mean, that stuff's just wild. I mean, you can't just put them on your regular street. So I think Trimble's doing a cool homage. So Mark Gallagher is going to kick it off. So he's an executive in the F1 world. And he's going to kind of kick it off. Because if you guys don't watch Formula One, you can talk a little bit to Trent. And my former marketing partner, Alina Coombs, is a huge F1 fan. It's amazing how much data, how much precision, how much technology they use that goes into that sport, man. I mean, Tom, we use it to build things. They use it to make things go really fast.
I just want to get in a test drive or something, ride along. Do they do ride alongs?
I don't know that you can do it. Not in the F1s, man. Well,
not the 200 mile per hour type stuff.
I mean, there's only one driver in that. Although the pace car, I think, does have two seats. If I'm not mistaken.
There's got to be some way to do. They could just let me drive one. I promise I won't wreck.
Oh, good luck.
I would have thought that was the case. Have you ever been in one of even the simulators? Dude, those things are so crazy. I drove carts out in Vegas, rewind, years ago at a friend's bachelor party. I just went out and did kart racing out there. Like 30 minutes on the kart track and you're absolutely exhausted.
Yeah,
it's so much more physical than you believe it is, man. That stuff's just wild. And all the people who are into F1 have just realized how little I know and are probably yelling at us, don't catch your cars. you can holler at me online and tell me, you know, you'll give me an F1 lesson and maybe put Tom behind the wheel for a little while if you guys are really being risky. Nathan, I'm wondering, you're going to be there. What are you looking forward to, man?
But in the Grand Prix, because the Grand Prix, that would be my engineering brain going off on like transportation, the mu coefficient and what angle of the banking of the turn do you have to have to the, so, you know, as you guys, you know, IT nerd out, I'm engineering nerd out over here. But I think to me, it's connecting with a lot of these folks, whether they come from the BIM world or from the surveying world. Like there's, again, such a large, I don't know, Tom, if you know how many people are going to be in attendance, but it's the only one that comes even close to Autodesk University. But Autodesk, again, covers like media and like all these things are like so far outside of what we do, right? That like this is a total opposite side of broader scopes of civil and mining and other areas where they each have their own overlaps, but I think it's just like a very different crowd that I haven't been to a Dimensions in certainly before COVID. So I'm very excited to get back to Vegas, see how things are going there, and just connect with a ton of old colleagues and friends and different folks at Tekla as well as all the project management platforms, and of course Tom and the Rivet team. It's always good to connect with them. So I'm just excited to be back in person. Can't get enough of these during conferences, can you?
Right. Well, it's that network effect, man. So we've got a big network, like you said. I mean, when you look at the breadth of the business, different sort of sub-industries of construction that we serve, but we also have a large presence in the transportation industry, large presence in the agriculture. So like when you look at sort of our work in transportation, ag, construction, you know, the thing that drives Trimble, at least, is, you know, participating in these industries that are maybe behind the curve a bit on the technology front and helping really apply technology to overcome some of those challenges. But the audience is going to be varied and mixed in a good way, right? It's going to give us a lot of breadth to work with in terms of understanding same similar challenges across very similar industries, very similar, you know, type of footprint when it comes to technology as well. So mm-hmm. It'll be good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's so cool about bringing in the F1 and bringing in Mark Gallagher, because he's going to talk about leadership, right? It's mm-hmm. going to talk about how classically industries that are lagging behind in technology and in adoption, really, it takes leaders to pull them forward, to apply it in a way that makes sense to win. We don't talk nearly enough. And I was on a pre-call for another event recently, and we were just talking about how leveraging these changes and leveraging new approaches is your way to win work. It's your way to outpace your customer. And that's what F1's doing. They're leaning into any little, here's the cool part, any little minute thing they can find. I mean, if you ever watch the race, they're all within seconds of each other crossing the finish line at the end. So what's that little gap? And they've probably got to do a lot in a lab and a lot of those places. Switch that to our world now. And all of those, you know, you talked about ag, transportation, and construction. You're not looking for a needle in a haystack to move you forward. You've got lots and lots and lots of opportunities to move your businesses forward, to get a strategic advantage, to take more market share, do those kinds of things. But you got to have your heads up and you got to be looking for it. So I'm interested in maybe you two are going to be on a panel. It's time to raise your expectations. Now, interoperability in construction is time to raise your expectations. Let's just be honest.
Don't forget, at the end.
We've already raised them once,
right? So we're going to do it again.
We have historically low expectations here.
Well, and actually, I would argue it's, from unaware to aware was probably the first expectation because, again, as we've said, 4 or 5 years ago, you say the word interoperability and you get that deer in headlights. But again, conference to conference, that is a term that people understand. They recognize that it's either a pain point or it's an opportunity. And so we're almost moving from, okay, we're aware of it, but do we really understand it? And that, I think, is probably the expectation that we're talking about, is moving from aware of what it is to really understanding the role that people play, the role that process and standards and contracts play, mm-hmm. and then the role that technology plays. To be open, but also you've got your limitations of resources and other things too. Mm-hmm. So we all need to kind of come together and figure out a path forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to when Nathan, you and I got started on construction progress, you know, and initiatives around that. Decisions around technology from the industry side of the fence weren't, you know, they weren't prioritizing interoperability. They weren't prioritizing, you know, specific capabilities like an API and sort of the tech that they were evaluating 5, 6, 7 years ago. That's changed dramatically. It's at the top of the RFP list, right? And all tech providers listening to this know that, right? Like the first thing on there is, how do I get access to my data? How can I leverage that data? And so accessibility and openness is becoming an expectation, which I think is a good thing for all involved. And frankly, we're going to finally start seeing a lot of those silos break down that have existed in the space, in the construction technology space, for years, if not, you know, the past couple decades, which has really set us behind in terms of really creating the type of data environment that companies in this industry need. Talk about, you know, high performance leadership, high performance technology. You know, this industry has a right to demand higher performing technology.
Yeah, I want to go in a little bit deeper on it because, you know, everybody listening is like, okay, we've heard this, we've heard this. And in fact, most of us in the business in some way, shape or form, and most of the tech providers have some sort of API, you know, statement out there. But half the time, if you tap them on the shoulder somewhere, you're like, yeah, we have that for that RFP, but what do you want to do with it? Mm-hmm. Like that becomes this, and that's been a shift this year. Like it used to be, what do you want to do with it? I want you to have it. Well, okay. Like, yeah. This, sure, I have it. Great. What is that? So what are some of the maturity that you're seeing? Some of the, we're hearing a lot of people talk about workflows and whatnot. What are some of the maturities? What are some of the workflows that are really people should be expecting to be connected together? And how are they having an impact on you know, people's businesses?
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of lead into it, Nathan, and let you chime in, because I think our perspectives will be a little different in a good way. So I'll kind of approach it from really two key perspectives. There's really the expectations for how you run your business, right? And workflow, I think, is the key word. Automation is the key word. You know, how do you eliminate low value activity? So yes, I need it. I need my tech stack to have an API in front of it. I need, you know, these building blocks or these sort of, I need the plugs in the wall so I can plug the lamp in and get power and turn it on, right? But without that, I can't do anything. And so the API is really just that. The API is access. But you got to do something with it. And so understanding what your workflow is, understanding how to automate, understanding what tools you're going to use to do that. At the end of the day, we talk about it at Trimble about, you know, this whole idea of, you know, the connected construction workflow. It needs to be configurable. The workflow needs to be customizable on a per customer basis. It can't just be completely locked in and this is how it works. You change how you do business to the way that we tell you to. That's not how technology works. That's the tail wagging the dog, right? So I think expectations are going to raise for how we think about helping these companies ultimately get and take advantage of interoperability. It's not just that it needs to be possible. It's that it needs to be reality and that it needs to be, you know, very easy to customize, very easy to configure, very easy to morph into what ultimately each company decides is their competitive advantage. That's why they're there. That's why they're using the tech. That's why they have business processes that set them apart. I'm better at this than you are. And I can demonstrate that in the way that I've built my company to operate. Right. And then I'll kind of lean into this one and then let maybe Nathan take it a little further. But spanning ecosystems, I think, is going to be the next sort of critical component for this specific to the construction industry. You know, the predominance of, you know, digital collaborative project management solutions, Procore, Autodesk, Trimble, there are others. But when you look at sort of the big players in terms of project management, you got to use my system. Now you got to use my system. Now you got to use my system. That type of issue is only going to continue to compound. And so the network effect is going to put pressure, I think, on the tech providers to ultimately offer a solution to that, because, you know, you can't keep data in your system and then have to integrate into 17 different GC systems that you're using across 17 projects, right? And so those types of issues become a lot more relevant. And again, it can't just be an expectation that it's possible to solve. They expect the solution to be readily developed and available.
Well, and I think that, yeah, you said that well. And I think the inflection point that we're at now, and use the new form of Procore integration that you guys built, what, back in 2019, that is, you know, now arguably kind of the most used cross AEC stakeholder integration for RFIs. But, you know, what that took was both companies saying, yes, we're open API, but also a person in the middle, Rivet at the time, now Trimble Data Exchange, to essentially figure out a way that works for both sides, and to be at Newforma's conference and to hear how much they're talking about the benefits and the value of using this Procore integration. And then, you know, obviously at Procore, it's ironically at Procore, they don't know that much about it because they don't see it, right? It doesn't change their workflow. And right. and so but what I think is that inflection point is the fact that you have two different stakeholders that want to maintain their own system. Because I even this morning I learned a new term being Procord, that engineers or architects, oh yeah, I got Procord, because they don't have their own system and they're just being invited and they kind of end up using the GC system. And in those cases, they probably don't mind it very much, but they don't realize that they're not managing their own data. Like there are all these things right. that they could be doing if they had their own system. But by doing so, you can now end up in this conundrum where I now still need to talk to that Procore system. So you know, here comes Rivet, here comes the data exchange team and everything. So it's like all these different pieces are now coming together, but it's still teaching everyone like to go from where we are today to where we need to go. It's always three steps forward, two steps back. But you know, we'll keep pushing that rock up the hill.
Exactly. And again, I think the message for the audience is to continue to put pressure. I think, you got to put pressure on your peers a bit, because Nathan, you and I have talked about this, Jeff, we talked about this a lot. It's not just a tech problem, right? Like technology can solve the problem if it's well articulated. It will solve the problem if it's well articulated. But sometimes just understanding a little bit more about how as an industry, what's the best practice for how we pursue this type of stakeholder collaboration on a project for particular workflows. Having more and better definition around some of the problems that exist can help tech, right? But we've got to get past the point where we're just expecting the building blocks to be there. I need you to have an API. And we've got to start expecting the solution to come to life in a way that is more accessible. And from my perspective, that sort of workflow element is really important, because you've got to be able to just configure that thing, right? How do we set this project up so everybody understands where the data is going to move, how the data is going to move, creating that brokerage system of rules and negotiation and agreement in terms of when are you authorized to access my data? When am I authorized to access your data? Like those types of things have to be there. And so, you know, my hope is that we continue to see that evolution occur where we get beyond asking for the capabilities to exist, the building blocks to be there, and we start really getting into more solutioning and deployment and use and adoption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, because you know, when you talk about solutioning and the new formative Procore RFI integration is a huge good one, because that looked on the surface when we sat down to talk about that looked like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And then it really over time morphed into all of the things that it needed. And in fact, I think if it wasn't that, it was a different one early on. To Tom's point, somebody used it and was like, oh, well, it doesn't have these things, so I'm not going to use it, and moved on, right? And back to email. And it's like, wait a second, that's not actually a failure of the system itself. That's a failure of the industry to articulate the contractual needs, the actual needs. This stuff doesn't just magically work. I think in the beginning there was this opportunity or idea that it would just magically work. And it's like, no, you have to map this out. Because if you're not careful, mm-hmm. right, you are mm-hmm. going to be transporting too much information. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of it that's not required. And there's a lot that I need, say, as one of the players, as a trade contractor, that you as the general contractor don't need. You as the architect do not need. But we have to flow certain standards. And the funny thing, everybody's like, well, that takes forever. Add up the number of times you do it. And I will guarantee you nine out of 10 times, it's far less time if you do a little planning. Mm-hmm. And you open up and you team together and you identify this. Now, that did take the tools getting there, right? The tools had to go through a maturity process to hit that point. But now the industry has to reach that point so that you're doing that. You should, every one of those people that's getting Procord, they're doing double data entry there somewhere, or they are taking on a whole lot of risk that they should not be taking on.
What was the later? Yeah. They're only doing it once, but they're therefore not getting their copy of the data. And right. and that's just a culture that has always existed. So like, how do you change mm-hmm. that mindset that says, if you're going to compete in the next generation of design and construction, you have to be data driven. Like we're still there. Like we're again, less so with contractors, but definitely. And again, we'll talk more with some other guests here upcoming about this. Of yeah, like how do we get designers and engineers to think more about the data also. Because when they care and owners care and GCs care, we all win. It's usually one of those weakest link things. As soon as someone doesn't care, then it kind of all falls apart.
Yeah. And I this is one of the few times I will agree with data driven. That we have to be data driven. In other words, the data, we have to let it drive its way through system to system, right? Data informs us on how we make decisions. It's not at the point and not going to be at the point for a very long time where it's going to actually make the decision. So it's not driving our decision and just happening, but it has to drive across platforms and drive to new areas and give us that information so we can make informed decisions on all of that data in all of those workflows and protect ourselves. Like, one of the greatest things people look at our need to protect ourselves as some sort of a negative, but it's like wearing all the personal protective equipment that you need to wear to go out and confidently do any given job, right? If you didn't have it on, you're worried about, you know, if you didn't have your eye protection on and you're doing something, you're worried about a spark or something jumping. At least if I have these things on, I can be more focused on the job at hand and the risk that is there. So that's sort of the maturity. And I'm excited to see you guys do that. That actually explains the again, because we like it tongue in cheek, but again means, hey, we started it. The platforms were really pushed to have it. A platform was pushed to then make it configurable. Now it's pushing the project teams to really embrace it and use it as part of their tool set and norming process as they come together as a project team, right?
Yeah, and it's about being intentional, right? Like, yeah. You have to be, like you said, data driven, and like, we have to be sort of driven to that outcome, but we have to be intentional. And why do we need this data? What do we need it to inform us? How do we need it to inform us? Where do we need automation? Where do we need to eliminate low value activity that we're performing day in and day out, double data entry, that type of activity, right? So that we can spend our time on more valuable effort that, you know, so Nathan's house gets built on in budget, right? Under budget. Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see. But I will make sure and give you credit, Jeff, when I say to our crowded dimensions, data-driven activities or workflows will lead to data-informed decisions. Because everybody wants mm-hmm. data-informed decisions, but they don't want to do the work to put the data in. And so if we go to the workflows, if we go to the activities and figure out how do you make a data-driven workflow that path of least resistance, that's where we win, right? Like, that's what those that have been successful and blown up have figured out how to do. So we just need to keep doing that. make it sound easy, right?
Yeah, make it sound real, real easy. So
just do that.
Just do that. So a couple of other things going on at the show. And of course, I'm focusing on the few that I went through and picked out that I wanted to talk about. Trimble is not done in supporting the future of construction technology and, you know, building successful construction tech businesses. And I would be remiss if I wasn't honest about our CEO here at Join will be on this panel, but you got a panel mm-hmm. of startup CEOs. And if I'm looking at this, I think Adam Bridgman from Iron Spring is going to be the moderator. Mm-hmm. And you've got Andrew Zukoski from Join, Tom Dean, awesome, awesome CEO and founder from Project Mark. Ryan Mattel from Rivet, which I don't
the
not
other
to be confused.
The other Rivet, yeah.
All right.
Well, now it's not so hard because there's one Rivet.
Yeah, the newly only one.
and then my friend, my homie, my former pal at old at Smart Bid, Trent Miskelly, now over at Document Crunch, a couple of jumps from there. Really talking about the success of building a construction tech business and how, you know, you operate in this marketplace. So I know, Tom, you and Nathan, you are always got your eye on what's going on with construction tech right now. And investment is a little bit of a changing landscape, right?
I don't think you want to ask Tom about investments. It's probably still too soon.
But, yeah, I mean, let's just say I'm happy to be out of the world of having to go and and, you know, understand sort of what the capital needs are and how you, you know, different means of sourcing that capital to move the business forward, right? But I mean, you know, I think to the credit of the folks on that panel, to the credit of Trimble, I mean, we are, we have a ventures arm, like a lot of the sort of bigger shops, but we have a ventures arm that's becoming very active. You know, we're going to be hosting the sort of startup demo day and things like that, right? So we've got a lot, I think, that we're doing to support the ecosystem, the development of the ecosystem. You know, it's one thing we actually talk about it, you know, since my time at Trimble, like we talk about the fact that technology changes so rapidly that you could get leapfrogged any minute, right? By sort of that next evolution or somebody that has less boundaries around them in terms of where or why or when they get started or how they get started. And so, you know, I think this is a really good validation of Trimble's strategy, of Trimble's presence in the market and our support of the market, because we're encouraging growth and entry into the ecosystem, because it's a big ecosystem now. It wasn't this big not that long ago, right? You guys know. I mean, Jeff, first time when you and I first started working together, we could probably name all the tech players in one phone call, right? Or and not that long, right? And now the list is so long, I can hardly keep up with it all, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We used to be able to take them from city to city with us on a roadshow,
right?
And feel bad when we left one or two out. Now, right. You know, 4,000 at last check. I was talking to the Procore team at one point. They're doing like 35 new ones a month. They're looking at and Nathan, I want to get your perspective before I jump it over there. One of the things about this panel, though, if you really look at what each one is, it just shows the green field that still exists. Join collaborative project delivery, getting stakeholders together, helping make decisions, helping visualize things, you know, driving better decisions. Project Mark, born and bred out of the problems Tom and Noel were having, sourcing great contractors in great areas and really looking at their portfolio of work and things that they could do and really bringing that along into more of a, you know, a customer relationship management. And then, you know, then you have Rivet, that's the other Rivet that's really working on the trades and the skilled trades and it workforce management and growing those people and growing those tools and using it as an asset. One of the hardest things right now is getting enough labor and understanding your labor and understanding that market. So if you've got an advantage in there, you've got it. And then listen, lawsuits aren't going anywhere. Contracts are a foundational portion of what we do. And then you got document crunch to make that more accessible, more actionable, more integrated into workflows. So it really shows the depth of where we are. So maybe back then, I mean, if you think about it back then, Tom, we were talking about a project management system or two, a reality capture system or two. Shoot, we were talking about getting your photos off your phone for crying out loud and making sure you didn't lose that. Or let's be honest, like sending an email with the right information for an RFI in it, not integrating two systems with RFIs. So it's come a long way, Nathan. I'm interested in your take on just some of those players and some of the change in that market right now.
Just even looking at the four that you just described there, each of those problems, like as you look at the problem that they're looking to solve, because there's no doubt plenty of problems you can build a startup around, but what is the market's ability to change the way they do things today to solve that problem? I think that each one of those is in a category where it is a legitimate pain that individual that's affecting has control over their situation. Because again, that's what makes B2B so much different from a traditional, you know, B2C consumer type play. And the whole, that's where I've kind of challenged the whole venture model. And you know, Tom, we've talked at length about this, and I think there are the right ventures out there, and especially construction specific ventures that do understand that this is a long game. These are going to take a long time, and you shouldn't maybe necessarily put all your eggs in that one basket right up front just because you're really excited about that problem. You know, take a while and really understand what are those soft spots in that bubble of a problem, and where is the right place to penetrate, and do you understand all those other effects that it's going to have? Because this, you know, this whole contracts and all this bubble that is the construction project. You know, once you poke on one side, you could, you know, poke a bear and it could really come back and hurt you. And it's not the technology's fault, and it's not necessarily the, you know, it may be the industry's fault, but again, that's for us to figure out, not for software.
Yeah, it really does come down to us to figure out a lot of it, but it's really cool to see that growth and to see that, yes, it might not be the greatest time in the world, but it's still a greenfield. There's still money. There's still a lot of positivity, a lot of room for growth. We talked about this, go all the way back to the F1, right? We're still not looking for just a needle in a haystack. We really have giant gaps of opportunity to drive process automation, to drive business outcomes, to get us more informed along the way. But I am interested because there's a big one coming, and no offense, but I could sit and call you guys on the phone and talk about things ahead of time. So I could know a little bit about that. And obviously, you know, I know a lot of the members on the panel and have access to them. This one got me. What does the role of the GC look like in 10 years? And I want you two to kind of nosh on that for a second, because, you know, you've got, you know, Cutler Nupp, Cutler's awesome, from Haskell and Disrupt Tech, and what they're doing over there is phenomenal with looking at things and really putting them through a lens. They have a little bit of an investment arm as well, but they're also putting those things into action, and they always seem to be looking forward. You know, Matteo Zimmerman, I had a chance to meet Matteo, I think it was a year ago at Groundbreak, from CMEX Ventures. If you don't get the CMEX Ventures email, I think it's Tacos and Construction. It's something really silly, but I'm always amazed. You can't keep up with what's going on, but they do the best of anybody in the business. And then Zakua Ventures, Mauricio is going to be there talking about it. And you have a representative from Hilti and a couple others. It's going to be really fabulous to look at what's this going to look like in 10 years. I mean, think about 10 years ago, I was at the masonry company. I didn't think we'd be sitting here, the three of us, having this conversation. So, Tom, I'm interested now in your take, how the role of the GC is going to change. What might it look like? What might these guys be focused on? We don't need to pontificate on what they're going to say, but more just that question in and of itself.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the companies you just ran through in terms of that, you know, startup ecosystem discussion, you know, there was a theme in all of it, and it was collaboration, right? And a lot of the sort of nuance, I think, being presented by technology right now is that they're all preaching this more collaborative approach to whatever that problem is that they're solving. And so when you look at the network effect of the GC, you know, all of the construction put in place by GC, you know, the network effect is massive. When you get down into the subcontractor network, the supply chain network, even when you get into the owner network that they're ultimately serving, you know, if you look at just one GC, sort of the network effect centered around that GC is massive, can be massive. The larger GC, the bigger the network gets. And so, you know, I think when you really look at the collaboration that's required among those volume of stakeholders inside of that type of a network, I think the role of the GC is just going to continue to evolve, because it's going to be about transparency. It's going to be about collaboration, facilitation, all the things that they're already doing, but it's all going to happen in a more automated, more public manner, more transparent manner, you know, things like that. And so I'm kind of curious to see how it evolves and how technology evolves within that footprint, but they're going to play a big role in, I think, helping drive technology adoption and use if they embrace it, because I think that can sometimes be part of the problem. That's why people get Procore'd, right?
Well, that's a great segue, because I was going to bring up, I think, the closest analogy to what I see the GC in 10 years being is, you know, you look back probably more than 10 years, probably more like 20 years, if we know, most of us probably know the Blockbuster and Netflix story, and you know that obviously Netflix was this new wave of thinking, and Blockbuster was just, you know, making money hand over foot on their late fees and kind of fat, dumb, and happy. And I was, you know, compared the GCs of today to the Blockbusters, and there are a lot of folks within the within our circles and folks that still work for design firms, or maybe they work for an AEC tech company because they still love the industry, but they just couldn't deal with it, that there is a sort of pent up collection of us that see a different way of running projects that is more collaborative, that doesn't look at, you know, this separation between the company I work for and the project I work for. You just committed to the project that you work for, and that we can build platforms around the best GC project managers and superintendents and trade foremen and accountants and everybody else, and almost like form our own teams, just like movies form or where movies are made and production companies and things like that. So I think we can totally from the ground and really have to from the ground up rethink the traditional companies and roles in order for us to really take advantage of this technology. So, you know, what is the role of the GC? Like, even the term GC may go away in 10 years, but that's a little bold.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that everybody's going to want to hear you say that they might go away.
As a former GC, so, you know, it's I feel like I have some license to say that, but I know it's out there.
Yeah, there's always the opportunity for that moment, but I think for me, you guys hit on it a little bit more, and I'll just put it in your terms a little bit there, Nathan, is like the experience has to change. And I think you're going to have a number of general contractors. I think right now you're seeing this. A lot of them are going back to self-perform of some sort, looking for more profit, more margin there, a better way. Some of it's for critical path type work. But I think in the end, as they wake up to what the future is really going to look like and what their skill sets are, is they're going to be able to have that network effect, Tom, where they're going to, their deployment, like we mobilize to go on job sites and we mobilize to start work, it's going to start with a technology forward look of this are the systems that we're going to use. What does everybody else have? Here's our way of integrating with those. Here's how it works. Here's the framework. Is there anything contractually that we have to make sure is different or, you know, different for this project type? Let's connect that all together. And this is the seamless experience you're going to have, owner, around making decisions, around adjusting to things. And we're going to be open with you about risk. We're going to be, I mean, I just heard this with a couple of folks, like to say, what are you afraid of? And how might we get ahead of it? Mm-hmm. And the groups that feel trusted and feel like they're having a completely different experience are going to be the GCs of the future. And are they going to look very different? Yeah, I think they will. I think they will live in a more digitally enabled world. And it's funny because technology gets this blame, like it's going to be less... We're going to get away from relationships. We're going to get away from people. I think actually that's where we are today. We're down here. I'll send you an email on that. Like, how about if we know that all this information is going to flow? We're using something to record what we're talking about right now on Zoom, and we've got a Zoom note taker that's going to take care of it. Or if you're worried about where that data goes, you're in Teams, and Teams will have that, or you're going to use Otter AI, or... And those notes are going to be taken. And you know what we're going to spend more time doing? Looking each other in the eye, having a conversation, talking about risk, building a stronger relationship so that at the end of this thing, when I sit back as I'm playing the role of GC, sit back, you're going to go, that's the only way I want to do business in the future. That's it. And I'm just pontificating on what they might do. I know these, you know, real in there, folks are going to have a lot to say about some of those differences. So that's some of the highlights for me. That's, it will have, by the time this episode comes out, it will have happened, and I will have missed you guys. And maybe we'll do like a blog recap or something, or we'll just throw up a CPC and have a discussion about it, Nathan. We got lots of platforms, right?
Absolutely.
Tom, any final thoughts for anybody, you know, just as they're starting to raise their game and raise their expectations of where things are and interested in what Trimble's up to? I mean, let's be honest, we're all working constantly on our brands, and Trimble's brand has really come a long way. What should those folks be thinking about?
Well, again, I mean, I think I think from a Trimble perspective, there's a couple of themes, right? One is the Trimble Construction One narrative, which is effectively, you know, bringing all of these sort of products and tools. And I mean, if you looked at like just the collection of algorithms and functionality that we have within the Trimble product suite, it's impressive, right? We're miles wide and miles deep in terms of what we can offer from a functionality perspective. What we haven't done well and what we're working to improve upon is the narrative around how those tools, you know, really support that connected construction workflow that is needed across teams inside of the company, across personas inside of that company, but also across companies and in support of the project. And so, you know, as we as an industry start to focus on topics more like culture and, you know, not sort of taking an approach that's my benefit at your cost and starting to create more shared gains in support of solving those shared pains, you know, I think Trimble has the right strategic motion to help facilitate a lot of that in terms of looking at how a connected construction platform can ultimately help provide the rails, if you will, that you need to operate your business, operate your project, and create that collaborative environment that you need across stakeholders on a construction project. So, you know, I'd say pay attention. We've got an open platform strategy. It's being invested into heavily, and it's going to be significant in size and scope and capability as it continues to come to life.
That is well said, because it's something we really have to continue to stay focused on. And, you know, our brands are all evolving a little bit, and our expectations are evolving with those. So, Nathan, I rarely get the co-host to do a pitch, but we're coming off of conference season. And, you know, we take a break over the winter holidays a little bit, and then we kick it back up into gear. And I think people listening that are really intrigued by the possibilities that are opened up might really benefit and might see some people they know at the AEC Integration Summit. So, you know, I want you to set that up for folks who may have been inspired by this, been inspired by Dimensions, been inspired by the problems, to get involved, because that's where the Procore to Nuforma RFI came from.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, as of the day of this recording, we are exactly 6 months from the next AEC Integration Summit. We'll be in Austin, Texas in April 17th to the 19th. But really, what this is all about, and again, I was just at the Nuforma conference, which was, I was basically the only general contractor perspective in a room of architects, engineers. You go to Procore, it's going to be pretty much, you know, mostly general contractors and trades, maybe a few owners and a couple invited designers, but, you know, very, very much going to be heavy towards the different groups that you work with. And so I think what we're trying to create is an environment where we really are balancing the designers, our architects, our engineers, our contractors, our owners, and those that support them through software. So the Trimbles, the Autodesk, the Procores, the Nuformas, the Bluebeams of the world, and Sage as well. And so we've, you know, got plenty of members and past sponsors. You can see on constructionprogress.org under the AEC Integration Summit, and looking forward to getting those groups back, MCAA and Electri and other member organizations that are passionate about solving these problems. We'll come up with 6 new interoperability topics that, you know, can range from your classic RFIs and submittals to, you know, much more kind of progressive progress and production tracking type opportunities, and really digging into the nuts and bolts of what needs to change between not just the technology, but the individual, the business models, and the public policy to make it happen.
Well, that was a great segue. If people want or have ideas, you're still open to ideas in some of those topics, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Our objective this year is to partner with those member organizations that that have existing initiatives and really build them around those initiatives. So if you've got a topic you're passionate about, if there's a group that you work with, whether it's, you know, COA or CURT on the owner side, or AIA or ACEC on the design side, there's so many organizations out there that we're trying to create a platform where all of them can bring their initiatives and really create that, you know, rising tides that lifts all ships, not be its own dedicated event, but really be a launch pad for these different initiatives and give them the fuel by making sure that they're bringing in the right perspectives so that they're kind of checking those different boxes before they really invest more in advancing those initiatives.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. That was a great on the spot pitch right there. And Tom, thanks, man. It's been awesome knowing you the entire time I've been in construction and watching you guys grow. And I'm excited for the next steps, man.
Yeah, same, buddy. Appreciate the time. Always fun hanging out with you guys.
I wish I could see y'all in Vegas, although I kind of glad I don't see y'all in Vegas because you never know. It's a tough city, and I will be there the week after for another.
As the old saying goes, right?
Yeah. I'll be there the next week. Nathan, thanks, man. I hope your house stays at least on schedule. We know it's over budget already, and that's not going down. But hopefully, it stays on schedule, and because I need my home away from home back at some point.
Technically, you can get here. You just have to put your work boots on and some PPE to get down here. But yeah, it's still waiting for you.
Well, I will hopefully see you soon as I head back out. Well, I'll be coming in from the road by the time this one comes out. But I am heading back out on the road. And thank you for tuning in today to geek out for our interview with Tom Stem. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.